Good to be with you this morning. We do have those who are visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. The last proverb there in our scripture reading, if you look at that again, the proverb writer says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure people." Have you ever thought when you open your Bible and you read about different Bible characters from Genesis to Revelation, have you ever thought about the people that God chooses to do great things for His cause? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about why He chose certain ones that He did? When you think about Bible characters, I don't want you to think about just who He chose, but I want you to ask yourself the question, why did He choose this person and not somebody else? Stop and think about that. A lot of times in the Word of God, we find that God chose a person based upon his character. I think about Noah, for example. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 6, it says that Noah was blameless. He was a righteous man, and he was blameless, and he walked with God. That's the one that God chose to build an ark out of all the people that He could have chosen. So it was based upon His character. I think about in Acts chapter 6 when there was a need for there to be some men chosen to take care of the widows. They were being neglected. And when some men were chosen, Luke says that it was based upon their moral characteristics. They were full of the Holy Spirit and of good report. So sometimes God chooses someone to do great things based upon character. But this morning I want to focus on another reason why God chooses someone. And that is, He often chooses people who are busy working. Do you see a man skillful in his work? His work, he will stand before kings. This morning I want to talk a little bit about get a busy man. Sometime back I ran across the quote, "If you want important things done, get a busy man." Some have said that Lucille Ball said that at one time. I don't know, she may have. It's been attributed to Benjamin Franklin and other kinds of individuals down through American history, but if you want important things done, get a busy man. It doesn't matter who said it. What matters is the sentiment, and it's a very good sentiment. If you want important things done, get a busy man. And sometime back, I ran across that quotation, and I got to thinking, you know, that's exactly what we find in the Word of God. And we're going to look at that this morning. This is true not only in the spiritual realm that we're going to focus on this morning, but it's also true in the physical realm. If you're an employer and you want to get important things done, hire a busy man. And I'm using the word man this morning, of course, to mean both men and women. Why do employers often want you to come with a resume? You ever thought about that? Why do you have to have a resume? Why is that important? Well, the employer is primarily looking for two things. First of all, he wants to know if you know anything. He's looking for your educational background. He wants to know if you've studied anything or if you know anything. But you know what that resume also shows? He wants to know if you've been what? Doing anything. He wants to know if you've been doing anything over the past 6 months or the past year or whatever. Employers, they want to hire someone who knows something and someone who's been busy. It would be a disaster to your company if you were an employer and you hired lazy people. Your business would go under. We do that in our modern business world. Do you know that God does the same thing with regard to His people? He's looking for you and I to be busy. And that's the person that he's going to use to get important things done. Do you want that in your life? You don't have to show up. You don't have to raise your hand this morning and have a show of hands. But if I were to ask you, do you want God to work through your life today? I think all of us would raise our hand. I want God to work through me today. Well, he's going to pick the busy man, as we're going to see in the Word of God. Today we have both physical and spiritual laziness. And God cannot work through us with that kind of mentality. But he can get important things done with someone, as the proverb says, who is diligent in their work, they will stand before kings. You're not going to find them among the obscure of society. They're going to be with those who get important things done. Get a busy man. So let's go through the Bible and let's look at some people this morning that God and others chose. Let me ask you the question, who did God choose to lead Israel out of Egypt? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Who did God choose to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm not asking for his name. I'm asking for what he was doing. Now, Moses was what? He was sitting under a tree scrolling on his phone. Right? That's what the text said. Is that what he was doing? Now, Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro. Oh, he was a shepherd. He was busy working. Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God unto Horeb, and then you know the rest of the story where God meets him there in the burning bush and calls him to lead Israel out of Egypt. Who did God choose? You want to get important things done? Oh, leading Israel out of Egypt, that's a pretty big task. That's a pretty important job. Who did he get? He didn't get a lazy man. He got a man who was out in the land of Midian for 40 years, not scrolling on his phone, young people. He wasn't out there for 40 years scrolling on his phone. He was working. He was a shepherd. And by learning how to practically guide sheep, he had learned how to guide people. By the way, when we stay busy in physical things, when we keep our mind and body active physically, it actually helps us to do things spiritually. When we learn things at school and then go get a job and we keep our mind and our hands and our bodies busy, we're actually developing our mind and our body to actually go out and even do spiritual things. He was guiding sheep and learning how to do that, and then he went out and guided people. How did he know how to do that? Because he had been guiding sheep. And so God got a busy man. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 27. Who did God choose to replace Moses as the leader of Israel when Moses went up into the mountain and passed away and died there? They had not gone into the land of Canaan yet. They needed someone to take them across the Jordan River and guide them into the land of Canaan. Who did God choose to do that? Well, Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18. Jehovah said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And it goes on to say that he was to have the charge of leading the Israelites into the land of Canaan. But who is this Joshua? Who is this man? Well, you're first introduced to Joshua all the way back in Exodus chapter 17, when he was one of the major soldiers who fought the Amalekites as they're on their way to Mount Sinai. From the very first moment that you're introduced to Joshua, he's a busy man. He's a warrior. He's a soldier. He's a fighter. He knew how to lead men into battle, and he would be the perfect man to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into the land of Canaan, where there's going to be more battles. Read Exodus 17:9 for his battles with the Amalekites. Read Exodus 24:13. How is Joshua described in Exodus 24:13 and Exodus 33:11? Joshua is the what of Moses? The what? The minister of Moses. He'd been serving. He'd been up on top of Mount Sinai with Moses in the giving of the Ten Commandments, and he'd been doing things. Who did God choose to lead Israel across the Jordan? Just some average person sitting around doing nothing? No. No. We've got to learn, brethren and friends, that today is the day in which we develop ourselves. And our young people, I want you to hear, to be developing yourself to one day be a good servant in the Lord's church. God can use you. If you're developing your mind and your body now to be serving and even doing physical things, one day can help you do great spiritual things in the Lord's church. See a man skillful in his work, he will stand before kings. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who did God get to be one of the judges? Who did God get to be one of the judges? Turn with me to Judges chapter 6 and verse 11 and let's see. Let's see who that was. When Israel was in a dark period of time brought on by their own sins, and God punished their sins by their living in the land of Canaan, and He brought various Canaanites against them and other people to punish them for their sin. And we're in a period of time here in Judges chapter 6 where Israel has slumped back into sin. And so God uses Midian, the Midianites, to come and fight against them and punish them for their sin. Well, who does God raise up to be a judge? Well, let's read Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. And the angel of Jehovah came and sat under the oak which was at Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon was what? Young people, what was Gideon doing when the angel of the Lord came and called him to be a judge? What was he doing, young people? Sitting around doing nothing? He was beating out the wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. He's a farmer. That's who God used to be a judge. If you want important things done, get a busy man. That's why it's important for us to be busy physically today and to be busy spiritually today. You get important things done. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Who did God choose? Who did God choose to be the king after Saul? Who is to be the second king of Israel? Well, we know his name. But what was he doing when God came to choose him? You ever thought about that? Who did God choose to be the next king in Israel? Well, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16 when Saul is being tormented by the evil spirit that God had sent upon him. Saul would be calmed by someone who would come and play the harp for him. Well, who was this person? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 18. And then answered one of the young men and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is skillful in playing and a mighty man of valor." Notice, by the way, before he even fights Goliath, look at how he's described, young David. He's skillful in playing and a mighty man of valor and a man of war and prudent in speech and comely person, and Jehovah is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son who is with the sheep." Who is with the sheep? He's a sheep herder like Moses was. We know the great things that David did. He had spent his youth staying busy. He had spent his youth working. He had spent his youth learning something. He had spent his youth getting up each day using your mind and working with your hands and doing something. And God chooses him to be the next king. And who is it that comes out and actually fights Goliath in the next chapter? Who fights Goliath in the next chapter? Someone who, as a youth, had been busying himself leading sheep. And there were times where he had to fight the bear, and there were times where he had to fight the lion. And he's readying himself to be put in a position to fight a giant. You want to get important things done? You get a busy man. And it's an encouragement, brethren, and a lesson for us to be putting ourselves in that position each and every day so that God can come along and use us through His providence. But He can't use us when we spend our day scrolling on our phone. He just cannot use us. And so in chapter 17, we find, look at what happens when it comes time for David to come and meet his brethren. They're out on the battlefield. Look at chapter 17 and verse 14. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Now David went to and fro from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. When he wasn't playing his instrument, which is a great thing for young people to learn, pick up an instrument and learn it. When he wasn't playing his instrument, he was tending the sheep. And that's what he was doing when his father came and said, I want you to take some food to your brothers out there on the battlefield. He'd been tending the sheep. And in tending the sheep, someone says, well, I don't know why I have to stay busy. Because sometimes when you're staying busy, there will be things that will come up throughout the day. There will be challenges. He had to face a bear one time, and he had to face a lion one time. There's going to be things that are going to come up throughout the day, and you're glad that you're doing that because it makes you better later in life when you have to face something that's difficult. And that's exactly what happened. And so in chapter 18, how is David described? This next king of Israel, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. This man was busy. And that's what the type of person that God chose to be the next king of Israel. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me ask you this question. Who did God choose to be the replacement of Elijah, one of the great prophets of Israel? Elijah was taken back up into heaven. Who did God choose to be Elijah's successor? Who was that? Someone sitting around doing nothing? Who was it? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 19, we're told who that was. In 1 Kings chapter 19, so he, Elijah, departed. He had been given some jobs to do by God there in chapter 19. And so he departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was what? Sitting around doing nothing? What was Elisha doing? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and with him the 12th. And Elijah passed over unto him and cast his mantle upon him. And starting from that day forward, Elisha becomes the student, the pupil, the learner from Elijah, and he takes over as the next great prophet of Israel. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You want to get important things done? Get a busy man. Yep, that's hard work. But that hard work, hooking up those oxen and sweaty and you're hot and you're dirty, and long days. My grandfather farmed. It's not the modern farming. He had 100 acres. He wore himself to death just to make very, very little money. You farm all day, every day during the planting and harvesting season. You're off in the wintertime some, but even in the wintertime, you're having to keep the animals fed and all that kind of thing. It is hard work. You make very little money. That's why a lot of people are getting out of the farming business today. It's hard work. But that hard work in plowing allowed Elisha later to stand before wicked kings of Israel. And what a great man both Elijah and Elisha were. Let me ask you this. Who did God choose to be one of the minor prophets? Who did God choose to be one of the minor prophets? Well, turn with me to Amos chapter 1. And we'll see. Preaching the Word of God was very difficult, especially when you were preaching in the northern kingdom of Israel with all of their idolatry at Dan and Bethel and other places. Very wicked place to be preaching. Who did God choose to be one of the minor prophets? Well, Amos chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the what? The herdsmen in Tekoa. He raised animals. And he had to preach in the difficult days of Jeroboam the second. Very, very difficult. Very worldly, very ungodly, very idolatrous. But Amos was up to the task because he was a farmer and he knew how to get his hands dirty and do hard work. Turn with me to chapter 7. Chapter 7. After one of the priests at Bethel, if you back up to verse 10, one of the priests at Bethel said to Amos, Hey Amos, you country preacher, why don't you go back down there to Judah? We don't want you up here in Bethel. We don't like your kind up here rebuking us of our idolatry. Why don't you go back home, Amos? So that's what he says, paraphrasing. And then Amos says in verse 11, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, and a dresser of sycamore trees. Not the sycamore tree that you're thinking of today, the real tall one. It was a short one that had these pods on it, fruit pods, and you could harvest those fruit pods. So he worked with animals and he worked with trees, harvesting fruit. He was well acquainted with hard work. He was well acquainted with difficult situations. So he could handle Jeroboam the second when it came time to talk with him about his idolatry. Who did God choose to lead the people back from captivity? That's a very difficult job. Depending upon the route, some have suggested upwards of 900 miles or more. It's a hard, dusty, dirty route. It's difficult. It takes many weeks. There's all kinds of hardships along the way. It's not a family vacation where you've got McDonald's every few exits. It's very difficult. Who did God get to bring His people back? And even when they got back, there were challenges after getting back with the local people and even God's people. Who did He choose? Someone who was just sitting around doing nothing? During the 70-year captivity? During the 70-year captivity, they just spent their time in Babylon doing nothing? No, He chose men who were busy doing things. And Ezra is not described just as a scribe, but look at Ezra 7 and verse 6. The word that is used there is a ready scribe. He was diligent, ready. He was there, he was ready to go. He had been studying the Word of God. He had been learning the Word of God. Now, that's the very man that God uses to lead people back and go back and teach the Word of God. He'd been spending his life getting ready. Look at that in your Bible. He was a ready scribe. Some say skillful. He had been applying himself and learning the Word of God during that Babylonian captivity, not twiddling his thumbs. And so he's preparing himself. He's readying himself. Young people, listen. Here's your time in life to be readying yourself to do great things for God down the road. We cannot be spending our time twiddling our thumbs. And he's the person who had given his life, verse 10, to set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. And he's the very one that is chosen. And in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11, turn with me there. Who is the man? Who is the man who is chosen and raised up by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. A man who had been serving as a cupbearer to the king. Yes, he was spiritually minded. Chapter 1 talks about his prayer and his faith in God. Yes, but he's also busying himself. Nehemiah would have been in an administrative role. It's no problem for him to come back and see the wall in a bad condition and get some people organized to fix this wall. It's no problem for him because he had been developing himself as an administrator. He has no problem working with people in organization and outlining things and what comes before A and B and how do you get to this point and get from A to B? How do we get this gate fixed and how do we get this portion of the wall fixed and where do we get the supply? He has no problem with that. Because he had been developing himself to do those kinds of things. Brethren, God is looking for us to be doing the same in our lives today. Whether it's our education, whether it's our physical work, whatever the activity is, we are developing, or not, ourselves to be used in God's kingdom down the road. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Who did Jesus choose to be His apostles? Who did Jesus choose to be His apostles? Can you imagine the work of spreading the gospel into all the world? I cannot think of anything more important than that, can you? Who did Jesus choose to be among those men? And walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, sitting under a tree, twiddling their thumbs. Is that what the text says? No. They were casting a net into the sea. Why? For they were fishers. They're men who are working and active. And He said unto them, come after Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Roger knows about fishing, and Rick, they're learning hard work. They're learning patience. They're learning to work together. There's all kinds of things you can learn just by being a fisherman that you apply as spiritual lessons as well. Patience and working together and hard work and all those kind of things. And we're the recipients of this because Jesus chose men who were busy. But it gets even better. Verse 20, and they straightway or immediately left their nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father. What were they doing? Just looking up in the sky and daydreaming, looking around? No, they were mending their nets. They're fishermen too, and they're busy with their father. They have a fishing business. And He called them, and straightway they left the boat of their father and followed Him. You see the point? Come with me to chapter 9. Who else did Jesus pick to be an apostle? Did He go into the home of some parents and there's some teenagers sitting in there or 20-somethings in there? They're just kind of lounging around. Hey, I'd like for one of you to be one of my apostles. Is that who He picked? No, didn't pick that. Chapter 9, verse 9, He's walking along the way and who does He see? Matthew, where was He sitting? He was sitting at the place of toll. He had a job. He was a toll collector. He was a tax collector. He's sitting in a booth working. Yeah, that's who became one of the apostles. And we are the recipients of the book of Matthew. You see? Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Who did the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 8 pick to be one of the New Testament Christians? We read about different cases of conversion in the book of Acts. We read about different cases of conversion in the book of Acts. And some of these people become Christians. And on one occasion in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, He said, I want you to go somewhere and talk to someone about the gospel. Who was that? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord... The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. where all of the war-torn country and events are happening today. Go down to Gaza, the same as desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure. But look at this. What was he doing? Who had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He had already been to Jerusalem to worship. He was busying himself in the worship of God. And he was returning in his chariot. Look at verse 28. He wasn't just daydreaming. He wasn't just looking out in the sky and watching the clouds and the birds. Oh, there's the Mediterranean over there. What was he doing? Verse 27. Reading the scriptures. That's the very person that becomes a Christian. Someone who's active already, spiritually speaking, and they come to know Christ through the Gospels. Wow, what a great example. He had been to worship, and now he's returning home, and he's reading the Scriptures. Somebody says, well, I don't know why daily Bible reading is so important. Well, one reason why it's important is when we're reading the Scriptures, it puts us in a position for great things to happen in our life. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Who did God choose? Well, let's look at another example before we look at Acts chapter 9. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, and then we'll come back to Acts chapter 9. Who did God choose to go on the very first preaching trip from Antioch? We call this the first missionary journey. Who did the Holy Spirit choose? Did the Holy Spirit come into a local congregation and pick the lazy ones? Did he come into a local congregation there at Antioch and just randomly pick some people? Who did the Holy Spirit say, separate me, blank and blank, for this work that I have? Who was that? Before we answer that question, we're talking about the very first recorded preaching trip from Antioch, in which the gospel, now, when you get to Acts chapter 13, the gospel is now going to be spread outside of Jerusalem. In Acts 1 through 12, the gospel is being spread in and around Jerusalem. Acts 13 is the very first time from here to the end of the book where the gospel begins to go into all the world outside of Palestine. Who does the Holy Spirit pick to do that? Who does he pick to do that? Well, let's read. Now, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. Oh, active men in the church. Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, look at that in your Bible. As they ministered to the Lord, they're working, they're serving, and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit chose two men to do a work that were already working. That's who God uses even to this very day. And look at that teacher. Somebody says, well, why do I need to be a teacher at Warfield Boulevard? Why do I need to volunteer to teach? Teaching puts us in a position to be used in greater ways even outside the congregation. This is what we would call just teachers. Don't ever say just teachers. These were teachers, and they had been developing themselves in teaching the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit says, I want two of the teachers at Antioch to go teach others. So when I'm learning my Bible here at Warfield Boulevard and I'm using it to teach the children in other classes, it's putting me in a position to where I can go do that other places. If I don't do that, then I can't do that at other places. Not only that, but look at the text there. Who was chosen? Barnabas and Saul. Who was Barnabas? When are we first introduced to Barnabas? Back in Acts chapter 4. And what was he doing all the way back there in Acts chapter 4? He had a piece of land.
And he sold it and brought the proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet so that the needy could be taken care of. He was busy serving other people. In Acts chapter 11, what is Barnabas doing? He and Saul went to Antioch to help the new church in Antioch. They traveled all the way to Antioch. They're busy. They're active. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas helped Saul being accepted at the church at Jerusalem. When they were scared of Saul, he brought him in and said, no, look, this is a good man. Barnabas has been busy all the way from Acts chapter 4. There's no surprise in Acts 13 that he's chosen. You see? That's why, brethren, it's very important that we stay active physically and spiritually, because God uses those kinds of persons. And then one last thing, one last example. Who did God choose to be the apostle to the Gentiles? Who wrote 13 epistles? Who wrote 13 of the New Testament epistles? A very large amount of material that we have in our Bible. Who wrote all that? Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Well, God chose a busy man, just like in all these other cases. And even this man was busy doing the wrong thing, but he was busy. He was busy doing the wrong thing, but he was busy. And God turned that around. Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter, some versions say murder, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and asked him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. That's why he was on his way to Damascus, to get Christians and bring them bound. He was busy hurting people. But he was busy. And when he talks about that later in Galatians 1:13 and Philippians 3:6, he says, when it comes to zeal, let me tell you something, friends. He said, when it comes to zeal, I was persecuting the church. Saul of Tarsus was zealous. He was on fire doing the wrong thing. And then he turned it around and got on fire doing the right thing. And he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. Brethren, as we close this morning, Christianity is not a do-nothing religion. Christianity, New Testament Christianity, is not a do-nothing religion, contrary to popular opinion. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 that we are to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God will choose us based upon our activity. Sometimes He chooses based upon our morality and our character. A lot of times He chooses based upon whether or not we're busy or not. And I think all of us would want to be chosen by God to do great things. But He's going to choose a busy man. Let's be doing those things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 and 46, that when I come again, I want to find my servants doing. And God will work through us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that God works through us. And we all want that to be the case. Knowing the kind of men and women that God chooses, let's go out and be that in our life. And if we need to change that in some way, let me encourage you to do that. We, I believe, live in a culture that promotes laziness. And we need to be separate and different from that, knowing that God can use us in great ways. We are the beneficiaries of the activities of all these men and women. And we can bless others around us today with that same kind of activity. We're going to sing this song, Thank You, Lord. He has done so much for us. We can show our gratitude by becoming a Christian this morning. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we can help you with that. If you need to come back to the Lord in some way, we can help you with that. But as we leave this morning already as a child of God, let us be busying ourselves so that God can get important things done in the world today. If we can help you in some way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?